Hey, let's go answer the bell, huh?
If we just know what we're doing, work at it, and concentrate and do it.
Let's go, fellas! Go!
Hello, welcome into another episode of the Patriots Podcast. I'm Sean, he's JJ.
Hello.
Oh, so how about that undefeated season, huh?
Yeah, that's gone. Pissed
right
away.
Right out the window.
I mean, it probably wasn't going to happen anyways, but it was a tough game. It's a tough game.
Yeah, it's a tough roll of the dice. The Pats, they lose to the Ravens. It's just one of those things that happens.
Yeah, when the Ravens have a good team, they can get to us.
Yeah, and it happened again. The one of the things that you think about is that this Ravens team has completely shifted identities and schemes in a way that Bill doesn't have a roadmap on how to play them exactly. And part of me was wondering if during the game he's trying to figure out the roadmap. I mean, you saw them make adjustments. They make adjustments every week, but
they didn't make any massive adjustments, though.
They did a bit because they played base defense at the beginning of the game, and then they went to like all sub packages after.
Right. They were getting there. They just didn't go the whole boat. Yeah. I feel like we were violently outcoached in this game.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Like, ridiculous. Like, basically, they gave the Patriots a taste of their own medicine by the scheme they used. And the Patriots game, you know, basically, when we go into a game, the thing we always say that Belichick does great is you go, okay, what do they do great? Well, they're good at running the ball and they throw to their tight ends. That's what their offense is. And we went into this game going, basically, okay, you can run it and throw to your tight ends because that's what we're not covering.
Kinda. But what they did do is they limited Lamar Jackson running the ball. And it doesn't seem like it because he had two rushing touchdowns, but he had 16 carries, the most on their team, for 61 yards. That's a less than 4 yard average.
Right.
Whereas Mark Ingram averaged almost twice as many yards, more than twice as per carry on 15 carries.
Which wouldn't have been a problem. I mean, you know, you never want to see a running back do that to you, but I don't think that was the key to the game. Like, he could have had those yards and lost easily.
Ingram?
Yeah. I think the key to the game from their offense scoring that much was because of their tight ends.
I was looking through their third down conversions. It seemed like most of their third down conversions came through the air.
To tight ends.
A lot of them were to tight ends. Like, Willie Snead had the big fourth down conversion, four, which we'll get to later, because I think there was a missed call on that play. You think so, too. And then there was also a third down conversion on a crosser to Marquise, where Stephon Gilmore was in coverage. He just got crossed up with all the traffic. But a lot of them, you're right, a lot of them were.
And so the thing that gets me is, you know, Mark Andrews was their leading receiver going in. I don't remember the names of the other guys, the other two dudes that they had going on, but wasn't one of them a first-round pick this year, second-round pick? He was a high pick.
Hayden Hurst was a first-round pick last year.
Last year, okay.
Yeah.
And then they had number 42, who looked like a fullback out there, who caught at least three third-down conversions.
Nick Boyle, the guy that caught a touchdown?
Boyle.
Yeah.
He was like their, you know, guy came in, we weren't even covering him.
He's their third tight end, yeah.
So what gets me mad, too, is that's, you know, younger quarterbacks, they have a comfort zone. His comfort zone, in Lamar Jackson I'm talking about, his comfort zone is throwing to his tight ends. He can throw to Hollywood Brown, you know, and Snead a little bit, but his comfort zone is his checkdowns to his tight ends. They basically ripped that page out of the old Patriots offense with two or three tight ends when we would have them on the field. So you could go out wide, you could throw it, or you could bring them in tight and you could run it. That's, you know, Patriots offense from, what, 2011 or 12-ish to basically 2016, 17. I mean, that's how we won a Super Bowl or two.
Yeah, practically.
You know, I mean, not exactly like that, but that was kind of the idea. Okay, you want to go big against us, we're going to spread these tight ends and run it and have your linebackers go on our tight ends. And if you go small and try and cover them, we're going to bring the guys in and run it. The thing that pisses me off is we just let them fucking do it all game.
Yeah. They weren't throwing the ball that much unless they had to.
And they always got it, though.
And they always got it. And we were playing a lot of man coverage, and we were just getting bumped off the coverage. They were doing a lot of bunch routes, a lot of shallow crossers, and we just couldn't stick with them. The thing that bugs me is how much they gave up in the running game. And I understand that it's a challenge. Yeah. And they did. I really do think they did a pretty good job containing Lamar Jackson running the ball.
Mm-hmm.
But then to just get gashed routinely by Mark Ingram and Gus Edwards. I mean, the touchdown that they scored at the beginning of the second quarter to go up 17-0. Mark Ingram busts through the A gap and picks up 50 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like,
yeah.
Next play, Gus Edwards just runs through the same A gap and he's in the end zone for a 15-yard run. It's like, how does that just happen back to back?
Well, I went back and watched some of this game. Not all of it, but a little of it. And what I thought was happening in the game when I went back and watched it was pretty much confirmed. We had a Landon Roberts and Bentley in there, a decent amount. I think Landon Roberts played like 25 snaps or something out of 70-something. So not all the time, but they realized what was happening. They went big because they were running it, right? We knew they were going to run it, so we decided to go big. Well, the problem is going big is against an offense like this. Lamar Jackson, you got to give it to him, as elusive and athletic as he is, he's really good at hiding the ball to know who gets the ball.
Oh, yeah.
When he hands it off. He's excellent at that. He faked me out a couple times. So there was, on that big run, and several big runs, a Landon Roberts bursts through his gap or goes into somebody else's gap, bursts through, and tackled the wrong guy.
Yeah.
It happened at least three or four times on some of the biggest runs. And not only did, you know, he get the wrong guy, the person who had the ball went right up his gap. So not only did he miss the tackle, they went right up the gap where he was supposed to be, and now you're going, everyone else on the defense looks around and goes, what, you know, why did he go down so far down the field? Well, because the guy that was separating him for 5 yards or was pretty much going to get him in within 5 yards is gone. Everybody else in your, if everyone else is doing their job, there's nobody else who's really going to be there for a few yards. You get a full head of steam because there's no one to stop him. There's no one to take on blockers. I mean, literally, there's one play. He runs by the blocker who's going by him in a different direction, and he goes for the guy going in the other direction. It's like, why wouldn't you at least look at the blocker and say, oh, this guy's going left. Maybe I should take a look. Bentley did it a few times too. Now, Roberts, they took out in the second half. He was gone. And a lot of those first half runs, I feel like, were because of him. The few plays I saw where nobody's around, you're going, what the fuck's going on? And then I went back and saw, well, I thought, well, Roberts, I saw him in a couple plays. And then I go back and saw him in the same plays. I was like, well, this is him. That's him.
So they were able to do a pretty good job against Lamar Jackson. But in the way that they went about it, it left him wide open. They weren't able to cover the tight ends, and they weren't able to shut down the running backs. So,
yeah, I mean,
they'll come back. They'll figure something
else out. They'll adjust. I mean, someone said it that they needed, I don't know where I heard it, but they needed this to happen so they could beat them in the playoffs.
Maybe. But last year they beat the Chiefs in the regular season and then beat them again in the playoffs. I don't think you need to lose, but you need to learn.
Right.
And maybe in the first matchup against the Chiefs, they learned, oh, this works. And then they go out and do it again in the playoffs and it works again. But in this game, they tried something and it didn't work.
I mean, it just didn't seem like on third down. You say they were covering them with cornerbacks. It didn't seem like they were on third downs.
But we don't have enough safeties. It's like Harmon was playing deep middle. And then Jonathan Jones most of the day was doing QB spy when he was on the field.
He wasn't on the field that often, was he?
They said when he was on the field. He wasn't on the field that often. But I mean, J.C. Jackson, Terrence Brooks, I'm not a fan of. I don't want him on the field. Get him off.
No, I mean, put him on number 42.
Right? Yeah.
That's what I'm getting at. Like, take your strengths and put them on their bet. Like, put Gilmore on a third down. Put Gilmore on Andrews. Just on third down. Put him there.
Yeah. I wonder if they don't want to do that because that gives it away that it's a man coverage.
Who cares?
Yeah. Who fucking cares? Maybe that's the lesson, is you don't have to disguise it. Just get the best matchups you can.
I mean, I feel like we went at it pretty vanilla. We didn't, you know, there wasn't anything that was confusing me out there. I wasn't like, oh, what defense are we in? I was like, wow, we're running zone. Okay, now we're on man. And they weren't doing too much to disguise it, but it seemed like they didn't want to show their hand, but they were just doing it anyways. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it's like, why get Gilmore on him on third down? Put J.C. Jackson on their number two and have Terrence Brooks on the last guy. They were getting Hightower in coverage too much, which they wanted to do. I mean, you got to give it up to Greg Roman, their offensive coordinator. He came in with a hell of a game plan, and he made some really good adjustments, like you said.
Yeah, crushed it.
I mean, he's done that to us before with running quarterbacks. It just really, it was annoying that it's like, oh, they're going to probably go to their tight end again, their number two tight end, and he's going to get a conversion. And then you look who's covering him, and it's somebody that's slower than him. It's like, we have a very, very fast defense. We shouldn't have anyone covering anybody that's slower than somebody. We can afford to do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, Gilmore is your chess piece. We put him on, you know, a receiver that they're not going to throw to. Put Johnny Jones on Hollywood Brown.
That's
you can cover him.
I bet that's what they'll do next time.
You know what I mean? It's like, what? I just didn't understand why they didn't go to that. I know there was only two drives in the third and fourth quarter, but it's like, why wouldn't you guys switch to that? Some kind of defense where you're going, let's take the tight ends out. Let's put our best, some of our best cornerbacks on the only three people he's going to likes throwing to. So if he wants to throw it up to him, Gilmore's going to make him pay, you know?
Yeah.
Gilmore's going to be all over the tight end. Maybe the tight end will help jump him, but Jesus Christ, Gilmore's going to make you pay if you keep going after a tight end with him on. That's what he's been doing all year. It's like, that's, you know? And it was just blech. And it was sloppy, too. You know, we had the offsides. We had a couple neutral zone infractions, and I don't know if that's just...
Yeah, they had four Lamar. First downs that came from our penalty. There was... Yeah.
The first Shalique Calhoun neutral zone,
offsides,
which was a killer.
On the field goal, that was a four-point penalty. Hightower was offsides on a third and four.
Mm-hmm.
Jason McCourty, the hands to the face, that one hurt. That was a third down that we got off the field, and then it's hands to the face. They just keep marching on.
Right. I mean, it was nothing was really going right for them. They weren't catching any breaks. They caught that one break with the punt muff by, of all goddamn people,
Cyrus Jones. That was
Cyrus
wonderful.
Jones. I was like, oh, of course. He just saw Bill on the sidelines and shit his pants.
That was so perfect. I was trying to explain that to the person I was watching the game with. I'm like, he used to be on the Patriots, and we cut him because he kept muffing punts. And then he muffs a punt against the Patriots.
He saw Bill Belichick and must have shit his pants or something.
I don't know. He's been doing that on the biggest stage forever, for as long as I've been watching Cyrus Jones. I don't know how he's still in the league. Really don't. He does that so much. Yes. Defense had a tough night. They gave up 27 points, and the offense wasn't able to. 27 points is what the defense gave up. There was the Edelman fumble that was returned for a touchdown, made up the remaining. Oh, wait, no, they gave up 30 points.
Yeah, 30 points. I just got to say right here, the game is on in the background, and Alandon Roberts is in coverage in the fourth quarter on Mark Ingram. Not only does he get roasted, then he tries to make a tackle and completely whiffs. Okay? Now, this is like the story of the goddamn game. It was terrible. Like, why is he on the goddamn field? Put him back at fullback. Put him back at fullback. Yeah, against a power eye team. Unless it's a power eye team, he shouldn't be on the field.
This is basically a power eye. They had four guys in the backfield.
That is not a power. Lamar Jackson is not power eye.
Dude, they had four guys in the backfield a lot.
This was third and four at the 50. You have our slowest linebacker.
He shouldn't be on the field in third and four. No way.
No. And he's slowest linebacker on the player that's been kicking our ass all game. It's like, oh, that's a hell of a matchup, guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was just that all game.
Yeah.
On defense.
They got beat down on defense. Offense had a chance to help them out. This is what we were talking about last week going into
the
game.
Well, real quick, before you go on, now our defense has been called all kinds of things, historic and all that stuff. And points-wise and stuff, they're still up there. Do you think it takes away from what they've done, or do you think it kind of brings them down to earth? Or do you think this defense is still that good and historically could be historically dominant? And this was just kind of a bad fit, like a bad matchup.
I would like to see more than one game. I think the Eagles game and the Cowboys game in particular will give a good look at that.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a hard time calling this defense historically great when they look that bad.
Yeah. I mean, I went back and looked at I was curious to see what the historically great defenses, if they ever gave up. You know, what was it? They never give up more than 17 or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, not true.
Not true. You go back, you look at the 2000 Ravens, they let up 36 one game in the 20s several times.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, you know, they let up 36. Like, that's a bad game. And they're considered one of the best defenses of all time. 2002 Bucks, you know, they had several games where they were high 20s, back to back to back.
Boom.
So this could be a fluke. I mean, we're a really fast team, and we have great depth. it just sucks that we put the wrong guys on the field at the wrong times. And that's what it kind of felt like. Byron Coward did make get in a little bit in the fourth quarter, and he actually looked pretty damn good. I don't know why they don't put him out there more often.
Maybe they will. I liked what I saw out of Adam Butler most of the time.
Yeah, he's been playing really good, especially in pass plays. There's a couple plays on this in this game, and I can't just say it for him, for all the guys. You know, they'd make look like they were in good position, and they would just be confused.
Yeah.
They'd kind of just stand up and like look around like, where the hell am I supposed to be? And it's like, good God. If that's happening, you've been outcoached.
Yep.
That is your coaching. And I blame this defensive loss on the coaching. I blame the whole loss on the coaching.
I would blame the whole loss on the coaching.
The whole loss is the coach's fault, and especially on defense. I can't even say especially on both sides, but defensively was like, you guys should have pulled your head out of your ass at halftime, and you didn't really make the big adjustment. You kind of just said, all right, okay, let's go to sub a little more and see what that does. But, you know, matchup to matchup. Okay, who the fuck is getting these two tight ends? You know what I mean? As I keep harping on. No go.
Okay. All right, let's talk a little offense then.
Let's go to offense.
The Pats, we felt pretty confident in this game. We felt that the Ravens' offense was going to give us the most trouble that this defense has faced. Mm-hmm. Everybody felt that. That wasn't a novel position to take, but the Ravens came in, and most people just have generic knowledge of the Ravens and maybe the NFL, just assume they always have a good defense.
Yep.
Fact of the matter was, this defense is not good for the Ravens this year. However, they did get some bodies back this week. They got Jimmy Smith back, a cornerback. He's probably their best corner. Marlon Humphrey made a case for that as well this week. Didn't hear Marcus Peters' name, like, at all.
No.
Wonderful. Yeah. That's so overrated. but they're definitely not the Ravens' defense of old. And so we thought that the Pats were going to be able to score 30 against them.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they were going to score 30 for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't able to get there. And it started right off the bat. They go 3-and-out, 3-and-out, 4-and-out, I think is the sequence of events. The first time they throw 3 times out. Second time they run 2 times and then throw on third down. And 4th time is like run pass. And then they're out.
All so, in the hurry up.
All, I don't know if that was that hurry up at the very beginning of the game?
They went right to hurry up. They didn't huddle.
Yeah.
And it gassed our defense.
It did gas our defense. But in the second quarter, it started to work. And it was really wearing down the Ravens defense all the way into the first possession of the second half.
Yeah.
And from what I saw, it seemed like that no huddle, not allowing the defense to substitute. It was very reminiscent of what we saw in that 2011-2012 stretch, where we were using 2 tight ends
mm-hmm.
in the back. This time we were using 3 receivers because we only have like 1 tight end. And they switched. They took Sony out of the game, put James White in. Later in the second half, they put Burkhead in. But either of those guys can run and catch. It puts a ton of stress on the defense, especially when you have Brady out there who can just essentially call the plays. He could do. Mm-hmm. He could get it communicated. He knows all the checks. He can do everything there. So I think that they discovered something right there that they will implement further going forward. I think that's going to be
the hurry up.
I think that's going to be the strength of the offense. And the problem is that like just as you said, screws over the defense. You got no time.
Yeah. It's tough on the running game when you don't have tight ends for it.
Yes, but you force them into a small package.
Mm-hmm. And Mohamed Sanu played. He had 10.
He played well. He played
8
really
receptions,
well.
10 receptions.
Touchdown, too.
He played pretty good. I mean, he was a good possession receiver. He fought on every play, which I think was pretty good. And I think it was Zolak saying, like, when you're watching from the booth, he's like, you could tell Sanu, you know, you can't see it always on TV, but Sanu's going every single play, which is nice. And he said, you know, someone like Gordon, maybe why he fell out of favor, is he wasn't giving it every single play, and you could tell. There was plays where he was kind of just like, not running full speed, not blocking full speed, whatever. And our offense did look pretty good. The thing that gets me, they got it going, and we got in the third quarter especially, you know, end of the half we drove, we score. That was good. First quarter, our first couple points was really just short fields. It was that, you know, we got a nice lucky fumble from Ingram where Collins punched the ball out and right before the knee went down. So we got the ball on a short field there. We got the ball on a short field in the punt return where Cyrus Jones muffed it. So our offense really hadn't done anything. Then we drive down, we get the field goal, which is nice. We go, okay, now it's what, 13-17, I think?
Yeah, before we get to the second half, could we talk about those 4th and goals?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure.
So the first one they had is fourth and goal from the four-yard line. And the reason that it was from the four-yard line, Shaq Mason had a holding penalty on first down that pushed him back. And they eventually got back to the four-yard line. But fourth and goal from the four, which is just too long.
Yeah.
Like, we're down 17-7. Why are you going for fourth and four?
No, you need the points when you're down 17-0.
And there was like 4 or 5 minutes left in the first half. It's like, I was totally on board with kicking that. Plus, it was Nick Folk's first kick in a Patriots uniform. Oh, right. No, because he had the extra point before that. But the second one is where people were really questioning Belichick. You're down 17-10. I looked it up. There were 8 seconds before halftime. Mm-hmm. Fourth and goal from the 1 yard line. This is when James White tripped over his teammate. God, that bugged me. He just tripped over the lineman's feet.
It was one of those games, man.
One of those games. And they spotted it at the 1 yard line. They reviewed it. Apparently, they don't move the ball any closer unless it changes the outcome. So instead of respotting it at the 1 foot line, they kept it at the 1 yard line. I think if it's at the 1 foot line, they do the Brady sneak or the Brady jump over the pile.
Mm-hmm.
But the 1 yard line is pretty far to reach the ball out like that.
Right.
A yard's too far for that. So I think that was part of it. And then the other part of it is, I still think there's a more than 50% chance he scores from the 1 yard line, the Brady sneak.
Yeah.
But the thing is, with only 8 seconds left in the first half, one of the advantages of going for it on fourth and goal from the 1 yard line is that if you don't get it, the other team takes possession at the 1 yard line.
Right.
And then their whole possession is screwed and they're going to punt and you're going to get the ball at like the 40 and now you have possession at their 40. Mm-hmm. But there's only 8 seconds to go in the first half. They're not going to have a possession. They're not going to punt it back to you.
Right.
You totally lose the value on that. So I think if those situations were reversed and the fourth and goal from the 1 yard line was when there was 4 minutes to go, I think they would have gone for it. But since
probably.
It was only 8 seconds to go.
That's a good point. And I mean, they were getting the ball out of the half too. So you get a field goal and you potentially score again. It looked like we were driving the ball. I mean, when people are all, I've heard people mad about that call. Like, come on now. Like, you got to go for the points. You got to go for the points.
I think if it was at the one foot line, I would have gone for it.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I'm not going to say that's not a possibility, but I'm not mad that they went for the field goal. Not at all. I mean, it's like, you got it. You're down. If you score this, you're down by four. You were just down 17-0. Like, that is huge. That's demoralizing for their team going into the half, going, oh, shit. They, you know, if you don't get it, it's 17-10. It's a little different. You know what I mean? Now you're still down by a whole touchdown.
And now they get the ball in the second half. They start driving again with the same no huddle.
They look good.
Look good, pushing it all the way. And you're thinking, could they take the lead here? The defense was already exhausted, even though they just came out of the halftime break.
Yeah.
To talk about the Ravens defense, I thought Edelman looked exhausted too.
Yeah, everyone did.
Yeah. And then he unfortunately fumbles. They bring it back for a touchdown, and the game's never close again.
No. I mean, that was so they get a touchdown. We drive down right again and score, though, you know, and we get right back within 4 points.
Yeah.
24-20.
It's true. But then they got possession of the ball, and they took that all the way into the fourth quarter.
Yep. And then our offense kind of fizzled out after that. And, you know, one of the things I don't understand about our offense game plan at all, there's a couple things, but we went with the same exact personnel the entire game except for the running backs. It was Ben Watson at tight end, Dorsett, Edelman and Sanu, and Dorsett, they didn't even look at. Dorsett was just kind of, they were just kind of go out there and take Jimmy Smith. And I feel like Dorsett could, you know, Jimmy Smith just coming back to he's been injured. You know, game speed's kind of, you know, Dorsett's a quick guy. You can scheme it up and get him the ball. He's had some great, great catches this year. I don't know why they didn't do that. And then James White kind of fell out of favor in the second half, too.
Yeah, they wanted to go with Burkhead, and I wonder if that's just because he's a more powerful runner. But at some point, it's like James White was doing great. Put him back in.
He was running the ball well. He was running the ball well. He had a couple big plays. He's a much more explosive player. He's a much more reliable player. It was kind of like we were giving up at that point. I don't know why you don't get, you know, take out. I understand you want to go hurry up and you want Watson. Like, put in Myers in there for a couple plays, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, that was... You know? That would have been a good play.
The kid gets open.
Well.
N'Keal Harry was supposed to be active this game, and he was a healthy scratch.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means, but they couldn't score in the end zone.
I think that was a numbers game.
At least so. I mean, they couldn't get in the end zone, and here's your 6'2", 6'3", powerful receiver they could throw a little quick pass to in the end zone to box someone out.
Yeah, yeah, that might have been helpful.
You know?
That third and goal, they throw to Edelman across the middle, and Earl Thomas swats it down.
Nothing. It was a, you know, double teamed. It was just, you know, frustrating that they, you know, 20 points. It's like, come on, Josh. It's like, what the fuck have you been doing? And the offensive line is not helping anything. I think it was a better this game. Newhouse wasn't as bad. I mean, Isaiah Wynn, God, we all hope that he comes back and shores things up. But, you know, I feel like everyone else's individual performance this game wasn't that bad. Brady was kind of feeling it. Brady had one of his better games for sure. He was definitely in a rhythm and, you know, making some catches. He was making some good throws. There was a couple bad ones in there. But overall, I thought he played pretty well. It's just they weren't, I don't know. I mean, they weren't really throwing a lot at him, you know?
Yeah. Well, they don't really have the personnel. They can't play the power running game because they don't have a fullback, and they really don't have a good blocking tight end.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of receivers, it's not like they have a lot of guys that they need to get snaps, get them access out there. It's kind of like they're just trying to go fast and get the other team tired.
Right, that was which is thing. No real game plan.
It is, but it's
not sustainable.
Defense out there. Look, here's a stat that lets you think about this. The Ravens had their time possession was 37 minutes.
Yeah.
Patriots, 23 minutes.
Yeah.
Total plays run by each team, both 65 plays. They're in the same number of plays, and the Ravens had the ball almost twice as much, almost twice as long.
Mm-hmm.
That's because the Patriots are going quick. They were throwing the ball. Ravens going slow, running the ball. That's how much difference it makes, and that's how long your defense is on the field for.
Mm-hmm.
The
one thing about Sanu that was, you know, problem was on that deep ball from Brady. Brady throws it up to him, and he kind of just stopped running.
He stopped running, and then Earl Thomas picks it off, and then Sanu just ran past him.
Yeah,
he wasn't like.
I thought
to
he
get
touched
back
him. I guess he didn't touch him.
Earl Thomas was on the ground for a few seconds.
Yeah.
And Sanu was nearby and didn't make an effort to touch him.
So that was another issue that they should have taken care of there.
Yeah. I do like that the receivers can block.
Yeah, the receivers can block. I mean, people are giving shit that we don't have a tight end. I mean, Ben Watson's doing all right. It's not like he's horrible. He's not great, but I'd say he's, you know, fine.
Yeah, and what do you expect out of your tight end, who is the fourth option at most on this offense? Do you expect him to have like six catches a game? He's not going to. Guess what he's doing most of the time? He's chipping linemen because our tackles can't block. That's what he's doing.
Exactly, which is fine. It's just, I mean, I Josh has got to do a little more scheming. I got to try and get some of these younger receivers in there. Sanu was actually punt returning, so it makes me wonder about Gunner. I think he's gone.
He should be gone.
He really, I mean, store that guy on the goddamn practice squad.
Yeah, he would sign up.
He'd sign up. No one's going to sign him, I don't think. Maybe someone does. Who cares?
Who cares?
And the other thing I wanted to say quickly about tight end that I've really been thinking about a lot, because you see him in Seattle. We got rid of Jacob Hollister, and I know he's nothing special, but we got rid of him for a seventh round pick, practically nothing, I think. Mm-hmm. Traded him off. And now we have no tight end. And you see this kid in Seattle, and he's playing a lot because Will Disley's hurt. And he looks pretty good. Scored a touchdown last week. He's not amazing, but it's like he's better than any option we currently have at tight end.
Receiving option. That kid doesn't block.
No, well, he's probably a better blocker than Izzo.
He might be a better blocker than Izzo, yeah.
He's got to be. I mean, he can't be any worse at blocking than Izzo.
Definitely
and,
better
and
than
And we started him for three goddamn games. It's like, why didn't we, you know, you could have kept Hollister there. That's all I'm saying.
Maybe, but he wasn't getting time with the Seahawks. They had Disley. They had another guy that they traded to the Steelers, another tight end, and then there was Hollister. It's not like he's setting the world on fire. He had a touchdown catch against the Buccaneers. Everybody does.
Oh, I know. It's nothing crazy, but...
I hear you. Yeah, for a minute there, we thought he was going to be an impact player for us. The thing that I wanted to say was that this team... The Patriots coaching staff is who I'm talking about in particular, finds the identity of the team that's going to work best after the bye week lots of the time.
That's
like
true.
Last year, the identity of this team offensively was let's run the ball out of power formations. We're going to put Gronk and Devlin, maybe another tight end in there, and we're going to power the ball.
Right.
So I looked up some stats before the bye week. last year, which came in week 11. This year they have a week 10 bye week, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Before week 11, they averaged 109 rushing yards per game. Afterwards, they averaged 150 rushing yards. And in the playoffs, it was over 160.
Right. So that's a good point.
They figure it out during the bye week. They're like, all right, let's take stock of everything. What's going on? And I think one of the things they're going to look at, I keep saying, is this no-huddle offense. I don't know what else you can grab onto from this offense.
Right.
Because they don't have the personnel to do the power package anymore. I think Sony Michel is going to take a big backseat. Unless they bring in a fullback, and unless Lacoste is able to get healthy, and they can go these two tight end packages with him.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Lacoste would actually, it's funny enough, he would be a pretty big...
He'd be a big addition.
He'd be a big addition. No matter, if he's not that great, it's like, oh, now you have two tight ends.
And Isaiah Wynn is known for his run blocking.
Mm-hmm.
That could help as well.
That could definitely help. I mean, that's a good point, too, because if you look at, or if you just think back to our offense last year, someone compared this game to what we were doing against Green Bay last year, where it was kind of like Brady just targeted two receivers and James White. They did, you know, they had to do a couple trick plays to get things going, and there was really no offensive identity. It was really just feed the ball to your best one or two players and hope for the best. And it was right around the same time in the season where it was a week or two before the bye or something like that. And we were like, wow, our offense has nowhere to go. Like, Gronk's not full health. We don't know. And besides Edelman, we have nobody. Chris Hogan was doing nothing. You know what I mean? And like you just said, they made their adjustments, and after that, we were a pretty good offense. And I'm not going to say we're going to be, you know, technically right now we're number two in scoring. I mean, I don't think we're going to be, that's partly because of the defense too, but you know, I'm not going to say we're going to be number one offense overall, but we could be a pretty effective offense once they figure it out.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, you have Tom Brady. If our offensive line gets squared away, that's fine. And I think our weapons are good enough. I mean, they're not amazing, but we've done more with less.
I agree. Yeah. I think they're going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
This is a bad game. They have bad games every year. We lost to Miami last year. They won the Super Bowl. They lost to Miami.
We lost to Pittsburgh. We got blown out by the Titans.
Yeah.
Because we had no offense.
Right. It's not the be-all, end-all. And they ran the ball pretty well against us and converted through the air on third down. I was at the game. I fucking remember.
Mm-hmm.
They go into the bye week. They get the Eagles afterwards. Eagles, I believe, are also on the bye. They are. So both teams will have 2 weeks to prepare for each other. That's going to be a pretty fun matchup. We'll get into that more next week in next week's episode. But cleaning up some of the stuff around the league, I mean, right now the Ravens are sitting pretty at 7-2.
Mm-hmm.
The Chiefs, I really wanted them to lose that game against the Vikings. They're 6-3. They came back. They had two field goals in the last 5 minutes of the game,
mm-hmm.
including a walk-off. They beat the Vikings at home with a backup quarterback, Matt Moore. Mahomes is going to be turning things up, but not sure the timetable just yet. He might sit out another. The Buffalo Bills are currently in third place, tied for second place. Excuse me, the Ravens are only 6-2.
Right.
The Bills are 6-2.
I know, it's pretty crazy.
They're playing the Browns, and the Browns are favored. Browns are 2-6.
Browns are favored in that game?
They're favored in that game.
That's crazy.
Right?
Why does the NFL favor them? Holy shit. I'd probably take the Jesus.
The Bills.
Bills.
Eventually.
But then you got Houston, who's kind of chugging along but losing people, I feel like. Yeah. Indy, I don't know what's going on with them right now. I thought they were a legit team.
That Vinatieri kick was a heartbreaker.
It's all
guy's
lined
like 45. Up. He's missed a bunch of kicks this year. Like,
at
what point is that it?
He tried to retire.
Really?
He tried to retire. He told them he retired. And they were like, and they talked him back into it.
Really?
Yeah. It was like after the first game, he like missed two kicks. And they're like, holy shit. Everyone's like, what the fuck's going on with this guy? Is he done? And he was like, that's it. I retire. And they were like, you can't retire. We have no kicker. We need you. So.
Yeah. Okay. Well, good for him. Pies on.
I mean, it looks like the Colts are going to make the playoffs as of right now. I mean, that could stop or not happen. But, I mean, you know, as bad as the Patriots looked in this game, your AFC picture, it's not very scary.
It's a joke. The Ravens are the scary team, and then the Chiefs, obviously.
The Ravens and Chiefs. Then you've got the Bills, the Texans, and the Colts. And you got the Raiders on the outside looking in.
Yeah.
And
the Raiders are fun, man.
And Pittsburgh.
And Pittsburgh. They're 4-4. With
Mason Rudolph as their goddamn quarterback.
Continues to look bad.
Oh, he is terrible.
Like, he's really bad, and they're still winning games.
Awful. In that fucking Colts game, I think he scored, 13 points, 15 points? They were terrible. He looked so bad. I'm like, what is he? He can't even throw the ball.
No.
Unless it's a layup.
He's terrible. Not a good quarterback. And yet, they are in the playoff picture.
Yeah.
The Bills, mark it down right now. The Bills are going to make the playoff.
Their probably going to happen.
Is just, I mean, it's
terrible.
As it's easier than the Patriots' schedule.
Somehow.
Because they both play the same AFC East dog shit teams, and then the NFC East, which is half full of dog shit teams.
Right, and then they play easier teams in the conference.
We do.
Right. In the NFC, you know, it's not that impressive either. I mean, the league doesn't look that good. So Green Bay, I don't know if you heard what was going on with them. They got absolutely killed. Apparently, they all got wasted.
Is that what people say?
That's what people are saying because of what Aaron Rodgers said after the press conference.
Why? What did he say?
He was like, you know, people's decision making before games in a different city and, you know, preparation and, what you're doing and what you're, you know, how you're treating your body, you know, before a game. And stuff. Like, basically, he was like saying that sound like someone got wasted. Wow. And everyone was saying like the younger guys went out and got hammered. It's in L.A. and couldn't play. So there's that. Minnesota. Good God, I don't like that team.
They're okay.
They played Kansas City. They should have won. Kirk Cousins, man. I know
he's a good player.
You've been defending that motherfucker.
He was NFC Offensive Player of the Month in October.
Yeah, I don't know how.
By being good. That's how he did it.
No. By being lucky. Thielen
had to leave this game again, and when they don't have both receivers,
garbage.
Things get really squirrely.
He is hot, steaming garbage.
Not even close, dude. You can't talk about him the same way you talk about Mason Rudolph.
Every time, okay, fine. He's not as bad as Mason Rudolph. He's
not nearly.
He's a bad starting quarterback. Every time I see him, if you send anyone up the middle, doesn't matter if they get there or not, he can't throw the ball. It's done. Plays over. Just
you
send
are
a guy.
Way off.
Nope.
Way off.
Every single time I watch them.
This
that's
season,
all
he is far and away a top 10 quarterback in the league.
Then how the hell did he lose to the Chiefs, who were missing like 10 defensive starters?
Because they have Tyreek Hill, and that dude is a one-man wrecking. I don't know what you do about him. He should be double-teamed on every single play. How does a 5'8 guy win every jump ball?
Somehow he gets way up there. What was the final?
That high, he just has the best positioning ever.
Yeah, I don't know.
The final score was 26-23, I believe, or... Yeah.
Regardless, I'm not. Minnesota has a top five defense. I'm not afraid of them at all. I think they suck. I think they absolutely fold like a goddamn folding chair under pressure. It is unbelievable.
It's absolutely true that they do much better indoors than they do outdoors.
Indoors and in small games.
Sure. All right. Fine. You could say that about a lot of teams.
You do.
And
sure.
And also, when they don't have both receivers, like those two receivers, they're both really good. But mm-hmm. neither one of them is Julio Jones, Tyreek Hill. They're not those guys.
No.
They have two really good receivers. And if mm-hmm. you give a lot of attention to one of them, then that guy's gone in a way that you can erase one of those guys. But if they're both out there, then you can't give enough resources to erase one of them. But if only one of them's out there, you can make the other one go away.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So Thielen's on the sideline. You could double cover Stephon Diggs. He's out of the game. And then you're throwing to Laquon Treadwell.
Right.
And Kyle Rudolph. And you're screwed.
And Dalvin Cook, I will say, is having an amazing season.
Best, he's incredible.
Best running back in the league right now, I think.
He definitely is. Well, McCaffrey.
I don't know. Cook is pretty explosive. I like him his style running a little better.
I like Cook more in the running game and McCaffrey more in the passing game. But they both factor into both.
Yeah.
How about Miami? Miami getting shit for the last 2 months from everybody, myself included, about being the worst team they've ever seen. They get a win. They're not the worst team in the NFL.
I kind of knew. I kind of had a feeling they would win.
Why? Because the Jets?
They're playing the Jets. So it's like they know how to beat the Jets, you know? It's like
Brian Flores knows how to beat the Jets.
Can't believe the Bengals are 8-0. 0-8.
You hear AJ Green's coming back to practice?
Yeah, like that's going
to
do.
He's considered day to day. This is my plan is coming to fruition. It's a month late, but Ryan Finley's getting the start at quarterback. AJ Green's going to come back. They have the lowest expectations possible.
Mm-hmm.
So anything he does is going to look good.
There you go.
Plus, they have the Ravens coming to town this week. The Ravens defense that we were just maligning
mm-hmm.
is going to come in with the biggest heads they'll have all season long.
Yeah.
And this guy's going to come out with his first start at home against this team, possibly with the return of AJ Green. It's coming. It's coming together.
You know, I got something to add to that. Two things I wanted to say about this game just overall is, you know, one silver lining that you can take away from this game is we're down 17-0. It looked like a blowout right there. You're like, oh, God, this could get ugly. Like, what type of team is this? What are they going to do? They fought back. They got in a position where they almost won, right, a few times, which is that's pretty good. Now, the second thing I want to say is there's been a trend with the Patriots the past few years, probably for a little while longer than that, where a team will come in that's pretty good. They look pretty good. They're probably underrated at the time. You know, we and everybody else in New England, probably the country's, you know, doesn't give them as much credit as they deserve at the time. They come in, they play their goddamn Super Bowl against the Patriots. They beat the hell out of us. And then that's kind of it. And I'm very curious. I know they're playing the goddamn Bengals, so it should be a layup. But I'm very curious to see what the Ravens do the next few games. They do have some solid veterans on there, but I wouldn't be surprised if they got a little, you know, let a little air out of their tires just because they now think they're great.
Yeah, like the
Jags last year.
Or the Lions last year. Or the Titans last year.
A lot of teams last year.
Or the Steelers last year who failed to make the playoffs after beating us in December.
And, I mean, the Jags I think of really because they came in, they looked amazing against us. You remember that? It was like week four or something. Like, amazing. Like, those other teams looked good, but we were still, you know, they didn't look great. It was more like we shot ourselves in the foot. That Jacksonville game was like, good God, what's our offense going to do? Like, they made us question some things about our own team. Like, we can't handle that defense. Blake Bortles was throwing all over us. He looked great. And then they went on like a 9-game slide after that or something.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just lost. And the year before that, I don't remember who it was, there was somebody. But there was there's been a trend where somebody takes it to us really bad. They think they're, you know, unstoppable. And then all of a sudden, they crash really damn hard. And I'm not saying that's going to be the Ravens.
I don't think that's going to happen. I don't know why, but I don't think.
I don't think so either, but I wouldn't be surprised if you don't see them as dominant in coming weeks.
I think they will have a bit of a letdown this weekend. I think they'll still win. They'll beat the Bengals.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty tough to go. But, you know, it's an in-division game, man. Those are the ones that'll get you.
Yeah, this team's no.
No. I mean, they do have, like, Houston coming up. They got L.A., I think it's got to be the Rams, right? Rams. They got San Francisco. They got Buffalo. They got a tough little slate there.
Yeah. Dude, have you seen the Niners' second half schedule? It's brutal.
Oh, thank God. I was going to say.
They have the Ravens, the Rams, the Seahawks twice. They play a ton. The Saints.
Good.
They have a ton of hard games.
Bring them back down earth real quick.
And then this weekend, let's see what some of these games are. I was checking out a lot of them are coin flips for me. A lot of like the Chargers at the Raiders, like I have no idea. Detroit at Chicago, no clue. The big games this weekend from a Patriots perspective, oddly enough, the Bills are 6-2.
Mm-hmm.
The Pats are 8-1. If the Bills win another game, they're a game behind.
Right.
So we need Cleveland.
We need the Brownies to win.
Turn it around a little bit, and then on the other side, again, from a Patriots perspective, you want the Ravens and Chiefs to lose whenever possible.
Mm-hmm.
Got
some good night games.
Yeah, the night games are really the cream of the crop here, where you have the Vikings at the Cowboys. This will be the 2 weeks before the Cowboys are facing the Patriots, so this will be a chance to get your advanced scouting in.
Mm-hmm.
And then, man, Seattle at San Francisco on Monday night.
That's a game.
I really kind of like Seattle, even though I talked a ton of shit about them on Sunday.
They
proved me right, dude. They went to overtime with Tampa, and you were all about, oh, Seattle's going to dominate Tampa. Overtime.
They still won by 7.
Yeah, they did win by 7, but Jason I know. Myers had a real tough game. Kicking at home.
Yeah, that's a bummer. You got some other decent games. I think the Panthers at the Packers. We're going to really see if the Packers can come back. That's kind of it.
That's really it, yeah.
Chiefs at Titans, I don't know.
I want to see this Chargers-Raiders game. I really like watching the Raiders.
The Raiders are fun. I just like seeing Gruden. Just show me Gruden. I don't even care about the team.
I like that you just don't... I don't know... That team, I feel like, could kind of beat anybody or lose to anybody.
Team this year. It's like can be so wrapped up in the emotion or something. I don't know what it is. It's just like if they're feeling it or not, they're going to play great or get their ass kicked.
Yeah, that game against the Lions was the best game this weekend. That was the most fun game to watch.
I want to propose to the NFL a Gruden cam.
Gruden cam?
It's a Gruden cam. It's just Gruden all the time. It's a little box of Gruden, and you see him at all times on the screen, and it's just him fucking losing his goddamn mind. It would be golden television.
That is so funny. I think they have something like that in CBS Sports. You can watch college football online, and you could decide which camera angle you want. There's only a couple they give you.
Right.
One of them is the coach's cam. So you can do an all 22, which is like from basically the blimp view.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll have those little picture-in-picture of the coaches.
They should do that with Gruden all the time during every Raiders game.
And he's got to be mic'd up and a live mic.
Just have him. Well, I'd never do a live mic.
I want a live mic.
They just need his facial expressions during those games would just be awesome. If anyone from the NFL is listening, make that happen.
They're priceless. Okay. Well, after the first loss of the season, feel okay about this team. They'll put things together going forward. They're still 8-1. They're tied for the most wins in the NFL right now. Going into the bye week, and they're getting healthier as time goes on. Things will get straightened out, and they're in a great shape. They're in good position.
Yeah, they're currently on pace for the first round bye.
That's true.
And home field. So
that's right. Okay, thank you all for listening. We will be back next week. Enjoy this Sunday without the Patriots to watch some football or take a break, whatever you goddamn well feel like. How about that?
There you go.
Okay, see ya.
Adios.